regularly.
Doc began to mutter in that strange, sing-song manner that meant he was quoting somebody from the past.
Lieutenant Broadhead, I'm only an engineer, here to build a bridge. What do I know about Zulu warriors?
Finally pointed straight for the forest, Ryan scowled as he saw the sticky stop and just stand there, waiting for the buzz to come to them. Was it possible that these swamp stickies were smarter than the ones in the Deathlands? They would find out any minute now.
Here they come.
As the vehicle sloshed into the mob, the stickies parted and didn't attack as expected, but started to climb onto the wag, as if trying to drag it down by their sheer weight. Worst of all, it was working. The bus slowed even more, the engine temperature drastically rose, and the wag sank deeper into the muck. The engine backfired again, then again, from the buildup of back pressure, as the tailpipes became blocked by the quicksand. To the people inside, the noise sounded exactly like gunshots. The stickies went crazy, hooting loudly and beating the wag with their sucker-covered hands. In a matter of seconds, the bus was coated with them. A busty female hanging off the iron grid covering the front windshield, several walking on the roof, dozens of hands beating on the sheet steel blocking the side windows, making a rumbling noise like thunder. Two muties were tugging on the right front access door, and several more rode the back bumper, hitting the grid-covered windows and exit door. Then the glass in a window shattered, and arms were thrust into the wag, eagerly searching for prey. But the jagged shards of glass ringing the frame sliced the limbs apart, fingers and suckers raining to the floor, and the stickies fought one another to pull themselves loose, which only worsened the damage. But with the glass gone, their calls became even louder. Mixed with the banging on the sheet metal, it was deafening, and the companions couldn't talk to one another. As if sensing defeat of some kind, the muties redoubled the attack, smashing a headlight, ripping off the wiper blades and radio antenna, and bits of decorating molding went flying away.
They're testing our defenses.
JB swung the Uzi to point in every direction. The noise and the hooting masked their numbers, making the 30 sound like 100.
Smart.
Simple animal instinct. Often baboons do this sort of thing at zoos to tease the tourists.
Ryan glared hatefully at the sticky clinging to the glass of his tiny ventilation window. Unable to shoot the thing on the windshield, Ryan hit the horn. The startled female dangling from the windshield dropped off and was run over by the wag. But then a furious male leapt upon the windshield and was instantly impaled on the array of knives welded to the iron grid. The slick blades piercing every limb, the dying creature pumped out its life onto the dirty glass, effectively blocking Ryan's vision of the trees ahead. The one-eyed warrior knew that a crash was imminent, but there was no way he was going to slow. Savagely twisting the wheel back and forth, he sent the bus rocking side to side, the spikes on the tires slashing the legs of the muties running along, the crippled creatures falling, clutching at the damaged limbs. Several tumbled from the roof and landed on their brethren, or fell under the heavy wheels. But the smell of their own blood fed the madness of the muties, and the beating on the wagon creased until there was a screech of tortured metal, and the sheet steel covering a side window was bent away. Multiple hands and faces moved over the pre-dark glass, searching for an opening. Now there was nothing between the humans and the mutants, but a pane of safety glass more than a century old.
Blades first.
A knife appeared in each of Jack's hands.
Indeed.
Doc holstered the Lama and pulled the length of Spanish steel from its ebony sheath. As the safety glass shattered in a spray of tiny squares, Jack jerked both hands forward. Hooting in pain, two stickies beat at the knives sticking out of their faces and dropped away. Another tried to take their place, and Doc lunged at it, the sword slicing open its throat with surgical precision. Gushing blood, the invader dropped into the crowd. But more took its place, and other sections of sheet metal started bending away under the pressure of the enraged muties. Briefly, Dean looked at the case of Firebirds. If he could just get outside, the missiles would fly away and explode in the distance, drawing the mob away. But if he was stupid enough to launch a rocket from inside the bus, the backblast of exhaust would fill the wag and burn them alive. They had enough armament to stop a tank, and it was useless against some mud-covered stickies. Ryan could see the trees were close and tried to spot a path or something to use, but blood and the flopping limbs of the aced muty were making that nearly impossible. Once more he tried for his blaster to blow off its head and get an unobstructed view. But the moment he let go, the bus veered to the side, and he was forced to use both hands to steer. By now the stickies were all over the wag, their suction-cupped fingers playing with the windows and tugging on the doors. The companions stabbed at anything that came through the broken windows, the interior of the WAG getting brighter with the removal of every panel of steel. Christy tracked the ones on top with her blaster, but withheld firing. She wouldn't waste ammo on a guess.
Dumbass bastard welder! Couldn't weld for shit!
There was a crash from the rear of the bus, and the back door unexpectedly swung open. A young Sticky was halfway through the small window, triumphantly holding the latch. It hooted in victory, and Dean blew it away. Then an adult swung in from the side and tried to climb over the stack of crates. From the far end of the WAG, Doc fired the Lamar, the strident discharge of the hog leg seeming even louder in the confines of the bus. The Sticky literally flew backward out the open doorway, its head a crushed mess. Scrambling through the supplies, Jack reached the door just as another mutie climbed inside. Spinning sideways, the teenager buried his combat boot into the mutie's stomach, driving it outside. Then, grabbing the handle, Jack hauled the door shut and forced the locking bolt into place.
Too close.
Jack flinched as a gob of quicksand was flung through the hole to splatter on the wall. Were the muties throwing that to blind the teenager? Just how smart were these things? Dean ducked another gob sailing in through the busted side window.
How the hell can they run through quicksand?
Check the deader on the windshield. It's got webbed feet like snowshoes.
Once more, the Stickies tried for the broken windows, and the companions hacked away at the hairless limbs, fingers and mouthing suckers falling to the floor. Again and again, Doc thrust deeply with his sword, going for throats and bellies. Then a Sticky grabbed the blade and wrestled it from his grip with surprising strength. The creature tried to escape with its prize, but Jack grabbed the arm and pinned it to a seat, while Doc tried to force open the stubby fingers to get back his blade. But the stubborn creature refused to relinquish the weapon, so Doc was forced to hack off the fingers with his belt knife to reclaim the sword. Shrieking, the creature tumbled off the bus, cradling its destroyed hand. Holding onto the luggage rack, JB went to the front of the WAG.
Go faster!
Can't. Bastard engine is at the red line now.
The gauges on the dashboard flashed in warning, and the WAG was barely traveling 20 miles per hour.
I push any harder, it'll blow.
Then we start shooting.
The armorer sent a burst through the access door. The muties fumbling with the portal were blown off in a shower of glass, blood going everywhere. In response, windows smashed on every side, and dozens of arms reached through to grab for the companions. A sucker-covered hand touched Mildred's medkit on a seat and pulled it to a window. The straps caught on the iron grid, and Mildred emptied her blaster outside until the Sticky let go and the medkit dropped to the floor. She snatched it away and tossed it onto the luggage rack out of reach. But the deadly hands were everywhere, clawing for anything edible. In the rear, a Firebird was hauled away, and the plastic cover of a seat was ripped off, springs and foam padding bursting free from their tight confines. A canteen was taken, then an empty MRE envelope. The mutie attack was mindless but unrelenting, and the companions raked the windows with blaster fire, hot lead tearing off chunks of the swamp dwellers. Mutie fingers and suckers rolling around loosely with the spent brass made walking tricky on the blood-streaked floor. A Sticky got Christy by the hair, and the woman cried out in agony as the creature tried to pull her along by the living filaments. Doc placed the Lama on the thing's wrist and blew its hand off. Weakly, Christy dropped to a seat, violently trembling, then slowly stood and began to fire again, without regard for conserving ammo. Opening the side vent, Ryan blew the knee off one trying to crawl onto the hood. The mutie fell, thick blood streaking the polished metal. Reaching through the angled vent, Ryan tried to push off the deader on the grid and only managed to cut his arm in the process. Crouching, Ryan saw the trees were only yards away, and then he noticed a breach in the woods, a pathway that led into the cool greenery. He didn't give a damn where it went, as long as it was away from this nightmarish hell zone. A steady hammering could be heard above the blaster fire. Suddenly, the back door flew open and a Sticky climbed into the bus. It tried to crawl over the stacks of supplies and failed, then began tossing the boxes of food and ammo outside to clear a path for the others right behind. Christy fired twice, winging the creature in the shoulder, then Mildred triggered the shotgun, blowing the mutie to pieces and destroying several of the boxes in the process.
Close that door!
Can't, it's gone!
Dean fired at a leg that creaked into view on the bumper. There was an answering limb was withdrawn for the moment.
What me, gone?
Jack thumbed fresh shells into his exhausted weapon. A Sticky reached for the teen from behind, and JB put a burst from the Uzi into its face.
They tore it off! The door's 100 feet away and sinking.
How many more are there? Anybody keeping count of the dead?
15 aced. About 10 more.
Maybe 12.
Can't let them whittle us down.
Christy's hair coiled tightly to her head to prevent further grabs.
Okay. We form a firing line right here.
Kneeling on the slaughterhouse floor, the woman pointed her weapon at the...